Hi, and welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Faizal Tehrani, the author of this collection of essays, Sastra Adla Makanan Anjing, which is, you know, literature is dog food for those who need a translation. And also this novel of his, which was translated into English, The Professor. Maybe we could spend a bit of time talking about your evolution as somebody working in literature, and maybe we could start with the latest, I guess, The Professor. Is it your latest novel, right? What's the story and what's so controversial about? Because I know you seem to be surrounded by controversy. It seems to follow you everywhere you go, Faizal.
I think The Professor is about a professor working on human rights. And apparently, she is a little bit different in her sexual orientation. So this book, this novel, actually discusses about gender and sexuality, and also discuss on human rights, actually cultural relativism versus universalism, you know, with Asian values and what is Western values, and stuff like that. I mean, like I'm challenging this notion that human rights actually a Western values. I mean, my point is that human rights is actually a universal one, and it's also, I mean, the Malay society, I mean, the Oriental society, people also do have their own set of human rights standards, what I call traditional human rights. And what, I mean, it's evolving, I mean, from this traditional human rights into modern human rights, yeah.
Well, why would you put a position like that, which is already difficult enough to promote? And we've had, I think over the years in Malaysia, many people who have tried to knock back the idea of universalism. Quite famously, Chandra Muzaffar many years ago in a Vienna conference, I think Human Rights Conference, also tried to draw a distinction between what he thought was Western and what was Asian in terms of human rights. And why would you put that argument in the body of a person already, in some sense, at the margins of society, somebody who is, you know, whose sexuality makes them a minority? Would that be, if you're trying to persuade, as it were, your reader of the position, wouldn't it have been easier to put them in the, put that voice in somebody who was much more traditional and conventional in their own person?
Well, during my second phase of writing career, as I've told you that I've been a little bit, not a little bit, I mean, like quite conservative. I've been promoting cultural relativism. I mean, I do believe in human rights, but from the perspective of cultural relativism. I mean, something like, I mean, the stuff that you mentioned earlier. So, but it's also a process of transition. As I told you that back then in 2009, I said suddenly became a human rights defender, yeah, accidental human rights defender. Suddenly I got trainings from Dublin, Stockholm, Geneva, London. So all these settings are also in this book. Berlin, for example.
And this had to do with the Shia community?
Yeah, yeah,
specifically,
yeah.
Right?
Sort of like the minorities came to me to ask for my help. I mean, like asking my help. And then I get into trouble, yeah? And because I do think that when people come to me to ask help, it's my responsibility as a writer to help them. And after that, I mean, like, I get mingled around with the LGBTIQ2S activists, and they also say same thing. I mean, like, perhaps you can use your voice, I mean, your writings also to help us, to assist us, I mean, to get our view. I mean, and also it's all, this book is also about dialogues. I mean, here in Malaysia, the thing is that when we sit down for a dialogue, we debate, and we tend to, I mean, to get who's going to champion this on this issue. I mean, dialogue is not like that. Dialogue is, I mean, to make sure that you understand the other side. I mean, like, to understand their perspective. This is really important. I mean, we don't have enough dialogue in Malaysia. So this book is about dialogue, about the past and the future and the current situation. I mean, how should we bridge ourselves in the society? So this is really important, I mean, the theme. Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting that you bring up dialogue, and I agree with you that there is a kind of intellectual responsibility on the part of someone entering into dialogue to be open, yeah. which is to not say, I'm starting with a position and I'm going to end with the same position, yeah. right? Yeah. I must be open to the possibility of change yep. in my own intellectual outlook. Yeah. Do you think over the last 20, 30 years, you know, as you've been writing, that you see that Malaysians, by and large, are open to rethinking or thinking anew, which makes your work impactful, right? Because as a writer, you seek to kind of transform people, not yep. just to have people... Yep. Or cheerlead on for one side against the other, yep. right? Do you see a transformation in Malaysian society? Has it gotten worse?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I was, I graduated as an Islamic studies student, you know, back in the, I'm from Melayu University, Akademi Pengajian Islam, and I was from the religious school, yeah, called Islam Kelang. I do believe in cultural relativism, you know, position of Malay supremacy, stuff like that. One time, yeah, once. But then I can change because of dialogues. I'm open to possibilities. You know, when I started researching on cultural relativism, like universalism, stuff on human rights, for example, I found stuff like Tafsir Nurul Ihsan. This is the only Malay exegesis, yeah, coming from this region, and this particular Malay exegesis Tafsir. Stating that it's okay for you to convert to another religion, to another faith, which is actually quite something really explosive, yeah? Right. And this book was published back in before 1920, before First World War. And he's not even from Kaumuda. So, and then I started reading on the Malay pantons and the Malay syairs and other traditional works. And I found that... the Malays are not like this before. And suddenly I also joined Institute of Malay World and Civilization, which is actually give me more chances for me to relook at my point of view, my previous point of view. And so it's possible for me to transform. So this book is actually a process of transition of myself from A to B, yeah, from this point to another point. So I think it's possible to do that.
Okay, you pose a very interesting problem for us who know the Malay language, but then often seduced into reading the English version because, you know, I remember trying to read Pramodia's Bumi Manusia and, you know, in Bahasa Indonesia, and it was so difficult for me, and I had to keep going through the mm-hmm. glossary that I just thought, okay, I'll just read the English version. I mean, how would you advise Malaysians who understand and can read the Malay language, but now that there is an English version of your book, mm-hmm. which should they read?
Well, the Malay version is only available on an e-book by Book of Fixie. But the English version is the professor, which is actually, of course, I mean, the Malay edition is, I mean, like, coming genuinely from me, yeah. And when you have another version of translated version, it's always a sort of like a rewriting process. I mean, I'm working together with a translator. But Bridget Bresson, she is actually married to a Malay, and so she do understand a Malay mind, and she really captures actually in a way. Not just Malay minds, also the Malay phrases, yeah, Malay Western Shang way of thinking, and I do believe that it's sort of like equal for you to read the English version and the Malay version. It's almost sort of like equal, but only that the translated edition is like quite reminding you. I mean, page after page, that this is actually a translation work. I mean, I think for all translation works, I mean, like, we tend to have that feeling. I mean, this is sort of like translated.
Okay. So maybe have both versions. Get the ebook as well as the English translation. Because I love the cover. It's a beautiful cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, in the last minute that we have, Faisal, tell us about your next project. I mean, you just come out with this. Mm-hmm. This is also quite a hot off the press, as it were. What are you working on next?
I've written a satire, but I think it's quite difficult to be published because it's a satire. It's a political satire. It's also about a pandemic, choral pandemic. I think the audience can just Google choral. What does it mean? K-O-R-O.
Okay, so is that the one where people get a disease because they eat each other's brains? Or the brains of the dead?
No, it's not related to zombie.
Okay.
So it's challenged many ways. I mean, our point of view, Malay point of view, a Malaysian point of view. I'm not sure whether it can be published in Malay. But Bridget Preston is now doing the translation of it in English. Perhaps it's going to be published in English first, and then comes the Malay version. I do hope that it's going to be published outside. First, I mean, like I'm doing the Zhang Yimou approach. Zhang Yimou, I mean, the famous Chinese director. I mean, like, he tend to show all his films outside first, and then coming back to China. So, right. Yeah.
Well, hopefully your book won't be censored.
Yeah.
I look for a time when they unban your books as well, Faisal.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining
me. Thank you, Sharat. Yeah.
That's all we have for you this week. I've been speaking to Faisal Tehrani, the author of The Professor, and also this collection of essays, Sastra Adalah Makanan Anjing, or Literature is Dog Food, all of it available at the Gerak Budaya bookstore in Petaling Jaya. That's all I have for you this week. I'm Sharat Kutin, only for Astro Wani.